about sharing the word with you today for a few moments, just diving in. I talked to you last week about the disciples being caught in a storm and having Jesus on the boat with them, and how that affected them, certain uncertainty, the uncertainties of their lives, but realizing who was certain in their lives. You can go back and catch that message on the replay. Today, I want to talk to you about being anchored in the storm. We know that our world has been in a storm the last few weeks, and it has been a significant storm. And storms test us. Storms test us in ways that are unimaginable at times. We have been living in a situation that, you know, no one in our generation has ever lived in. Churches have not gone through anything like this. We've not faced this kind of circumstance. It has been a real test. It has been a real storm. But luckily, the Bible talks to us about storms. It tries to teach us and helps us to understand better. And we have a clear picture about how people of faith should respond in times of storms. Paul was caught in a storm that wasn't his fault. He was on a ship being transported, being taken to another place, and he was excited about going to that place because it was a place where he had never had the opportunity to share the gospel. So he knew there was purpose. He knew there was reason for him to be on the ship, but he was caught in a storm that wasn't his fault. I don't know about you today, but those are the most frustrating storms, the storms that are not our fault. I would imagine all of us, and you're welcome to hit a thumbs up in the comments or shoot some hearts up onto the screen. All of us know what it is to be in a mess that was our own doing. All of us know what it is to be in a situation that is a direct result of some choice that we made. But Paul is in a storm that is not his fault. And those are the most frustrating storms because you're left saying, wait a minute, I'm having to suffer the consequences. I'm having to deal with the fallout. And this is not anything that had to do with me. So I want to talk for a few moments today about how storms affect our lives. Because by now you can't ignore this, you cannot avoid this, you cannot get away from all of the things that are swirling around us. You know your life is affected. You know storms affect us, and oftentimes they affect us in adverse ways. So how can we flip that? How can we turn that and make the storm work for us? I'm going to tell you some ways today that storms affect us. First of all, storms cause us to drift. Storms cause us to drift. Acts 27 and verse 15 says, "The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along." That means that at some point they could not hold the wheel any longer. They, all of their strength, all of their collective ability and knowledge about winds and seas and sailing, none of it was a match for the storm that they were in. So the King James says they just let her drive. They just let the ship go wherever the wind took it. They had to give in to the storm because there was nothing else they could do. Storms cause us to drift. That's not a good thing because, you know, we like to be in control of our lives. We like to have some decisions, you know, about what we're going to do. That's one of the things that has made this quarantine and restaurants closing and businesses closing and school being out, until who knows when. That's one of the things that makes this so frustrating, because we are not in control. We don't have our hands on the wheel and living our normal routines and living our normal schedules and doing the things that are on our calendar, but now we cannot do them because of the storm. We are just adrift, and it is frustrating. But storms cause us to drift. Secondly, storms cause us to discard. Not only do storms cause us to drift, storms cause us to discard. What does that mean? Acts 27, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "We took such a violent battering from the storms that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands." The storm was pounding them so hard. The storm was so unrelenting that literally they're having to throw over dead weight. They're having to throw things, trying to lighten the load of the ship, trying to keep the ship from sinking. They discard. I agree with you that sometimes in storms we have the opportunity to discard things that need to be eliminated from our lives, things that need to be removed from our lives. Sometimes there are relationships that are not good for us. There are things that just get the best of us emotionally and mentally and spiritually oftentimes. And the storm creates the perfect opportunity for God to have our undivided attention, and realize there are some things that we need to discard. But hear me, if you're not careful in the storm, sometimes you'll discard things that you need, things that are of value to you, things that are important to you, things that matter to your family. Dealing with quarantine, suddenly you'll find out just how good your relationship is. Suddenly you'll find out just how easy it is to get on one another's nerves. How crazy would it be to be in a quarantine situation and think, you know what? I'm getting rid of you, wife. I'm getting rid of you, husband. I can't be quarantined with you one more day. So in this temporary circumstance, in this temporary storm, I am going to discard something that actually is very valuable to me. Third way that storms affect us is that storms cause us to despair. They cause us to drift, they cause us to discard, and absolutely storms cause us to despair. Acts 27 and 20 says, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been in a storm? Maybe you felt that way in the last couple of weeks. You just lose hope. I'm never going to get out of this. This is never going to turn for my good. This has ruined my life, or this has ruined my business, or this has turned my family upside down. And all of a sudden, we have no hope, and we're just depressed, and we're just discouraged, and it just feels like everything is over. I remember my brother. I have an older brother and an older sister. My brother, who is 7 years older than myself, and my stepfather, who is dear to all of us, they had bought a boat, and I don't know that I was even on the boat ever one time. I was busy traveling the country doing ministry, but they bought a boat. They didn't own it very long. That's probably why I didn't have the opportunity to ever get on the boat. But they were on the boat, and they were excited. They had gotten it for a good price, and they had taken it out a few times and had done some fishing, and some of the kids had done some tubing behind the boat. And one evening, my stepfather and my brother go out in the boat just to take a little tour around the lake. And at some point on their outing, the boat starts taking on water, and it wasn't a quick thing. You've watched the movie Titanic, and it took, like, you know, I don't know, 3 days for that boat to sink, it seems. They were still eating dinner and having long conversations. But in reality, when a boat, when a vessel starts taking on water, it happens very fast. And this 17 or 18 foot bass boat, ski boat, lake boat, when it started taking on water, it happened very, very quickly that this water was, this boat was completely submerged in the water. And there is my stepfather, who's, you know, at that time, a middle-aged man in his late 50s, early 60s. And there is my my older brother, and they're way, way, way off the shore, and they don't know what they are going to do. So my brother sets out swimming. He has to swim well over a mile. That's not easy to do. And he's trying to go to safety while my stepfather is treading water and holding on for dear life. And both of them, in recounting the story, told how they felt like they were going to die. They felt like everything would be over, because something happens in a storm. Something happens in a crisis situation. Something happens when we lose hope, and it feels like there is no way that I can be saved from this circumstance. If you feel that way today, I want to encourage you to hold on. I want to encourage you that no matter how difficult your situation is, no matter how dark the night is that you're living in right now, if you can just hang on, I promise you that your situation is more temporary than you think. Your situation is more confined than you think, and it will pass, but I have to hold on. So we know storms affect us. They cause us to drift. They cause us to discard. They cause us to despair. But I know there are some things that I need to hold on to, some things that I need to be passionate about. Every boat has an anchor. Every boat has something that secures it and holds it. So what are the things that we should hold on to in a storm? We know the storm is going to affect us. We know the storm is going to come at us and do its best to take us out. But what are the things that are going to keep us in the storm and anchor us in the storm? And I want to talk to you about three anchors that you need in the storm. The first anchor is God's presence. God's presence. You've got to have God's presence. Acts 27 and verse 23, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. Paul is saying, in the darkest part of the night, in the most raging season of this storm that I find myself in the middle of, when I was losing my mind, my clothes had been ripped from my body, haven't seen sun or stars in a long, long time, but there God is standing right beside me. Can I tell you that if you will value the presence of God, that's why we're bringing the church to your home. That's why you're watching this right now as a family around the computer. That's why you're huddled around the cell phone watching a live stream of worship and a word, because you have to value God's presence in your life. Hear me carefully. Storms cannot hide the presence of God. That's what the enemy wants you and I to believe. If he can bring the wind so strong, if he can bring the waves so high, if he can pound us with one crisis after another, that somehow it will mute or silence or void the presence of God in our lives. No, 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 devil, it's not true. It doesn't matter how high the waves crash or how hard the wind blows. David said, if I make my bed in hell, God is still there with me. I am all about and value the presence of God. It doesn't matter how bad it gets, God is still there. You ought to type amen right now to say, yes, I believe that, and I feel the presence of God in my home. The second anchor is God's purpose. I need God's presence as an anchor in my life, and I need God's purpose in my life. Acts 27 and verse 24. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Paul, you have purpose on your life. Maybe this storm was designed to void that purpose in your life. Maybe what you're going through, maybe the financial strain, maybe the career, maybe the kids, maybe the circumstance that you're living in right now, maybe the enemy set it up and designed it so that you would lose your mind, so that you would fall out spiritually, so that you would give up hope. But if you keep at the forefront of your mind, post note it to your mirror, make it the screensaver on your phone, tattoo it on your arm if necessary. You are God's chosen, and He has a purpose for your life. Because hear me, storms cannot change the purpose of God in my life. God's purpose remains in my life no matter how hard the storms rage against me. And that leads me to the third anchor today. It's an important anchor. The third anchor is God's promise. Acts 27 and verse 25. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. Can I tell you today that not only is God going to spare you, but God is going to spare people that are connected to you. Paul didn't want to be arrogant, and then he was very confident to say, you know what, you're going to live because I have a purpose on my life. This company is not going to fail. You know why? Because I'm an employee of it. This ship is not going to go down because there is so much purpose and destiny on my life. Man, I feel that so strong in God. You have so much purpose on your life that God will save an entire company just so that He can continue to bless you. God's promise is an anchor that we need. Storms cannot destroy the child of God. I don't care how strong the storm is. If God has made a promise to me, that promise is going to come to pass. It's pretty exciting today. I hope you feel that in your home. I hope you'll rub your kids on the head, or you'll squeeze your wife's shoulder right now, because you need to be reminded in the middle of this storm that God's presence is valuable, that God has a purpose for you, and that there is a promise that will come to pass in your life. But let me ask you this. Let me speak to this or answer this for you. What's next for the church? What's going to happen from here? Well, let me tell you boldly today, we're not stopping. We're not slowing down. We're going to be more active than ever before. We're developing online content. We're making sure that you are well resourced. We've got great things in the works. Church doesn't stop because there are quarantines or because there are viruses. Listen, the church has survived much, much more, and it will survive this. But you and I may have to get unstuck. You and I may have to get out of our normal seat. We may have to do church a different way, but we are not stopping and we are not slowing down, and we will be more active than ever. We're not going to stop worshiping. We're not going to stop seeking God. They may have social distancing in place, but that does not mean spiritual distancing. No, I'm getting closer to God than I've ever been before, because I believe that God will use this time and people will turn to Jesus. We're already hearing reports, people that are connecting, people that are giving their lives to the Lord, people that are saying yes to Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I don't know if you've heard or not, but this virus is highly contagious. Maybe you've heard about it. You know what I'm praying today? I'm praying for some believers to become highly contagious with their faith, with their zeal, with their excitement for what God is doing in their life. What are they spreading? They're spreading hope. They're spreading love. They're spreading life in Christ, infectious with the goodness of God, and making sure that every single person I come in contact with gets infected also. How do we do that, you ask? We do it because our filter is different. Our perspective is bigger. If we're so myopic that all we do is wait for CNN or Fox or whatever your news outlet of choice may be, if we wait for them to tell us how we are supposed to think or what we're supposed to believe or how we are supposed to feel in this time, no. I hear what you're saying. I listen to your information, but then I filter it through something altogether different. I see it from a different angle, a different perspective, one that is eternal. How can God get the glory out of what we are facing right now? You know what you and I know? We know there's more to this life than this life. We know that there is something beyond here. There is something beyond now. That's why Paul can say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We're in the storm, but we're anchored. God's presence, God's purpose, God's promise. The ship of our life is rocking and reeling. There's lots of unknowns and uncertainty, but we are anchored. You're saying, Pastor Darrell, I'm watching today. Someone shared, someone invited me in. I just happened to see this on my feed. I don't know that I have the anchor that you're talking about. You know what? You can. You can. You can get anchored today, right now, in this moment. Are you serious? That's possible? Yes, you can get anchored right now. You can say yes to Jesus. You can choose this day whom you will serve. You can follow him for the rest of your life. I want to pray with you today, and I want you to pray with me. I want you to be bold enough to pray it out loud right there in your home. Invite your kids. Invite those that are watching with you to pray with you. Say, Jesus, I don't know how to handle the storm that I'm in right now. I don't know how to deal with the wind and the rain and the crisis and the problems and the issues that surround me. I don't know what to do about it. I want to be anchored. I want to be anchored in you. I've tried anchoring in my own thoughts. I've tried to anchor in my own wisdom. I've tried to anchor in my own plans and my own ideas, and the boat just continues to drift. So today, I want to know your purpose for my life. Today, I want to understand your promise for my life. Today, I say yes to you because I feel you saying yes to me. I want to accept you because I know you have accepted me. Today, I repent of my sin. Today, I give you everything in my heart that is not like you. Today, I thank you for setting me free of addiction and breaking chains in my life. Today, you are anchoring me in your word. and in your promise and in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Wow. There ought to be hearts flying up the screen. There ought to be thumbs up flying up the screen of people worshiping digitally and clapping digitally. Type amen right there and say yeah, yeah, yeah. And hey, if you're one of the ones who prayed that prayer today, I dare you to be bold enough to type the word follow. Just follow. You don't have to say anything else. You don't have to tell your story or share any intimate, just say follow, and someone from our team, they won't hound you, they won't bug you, they just want to send you information. They want to make sure that you get connected, a church in your area, the opportunity to worship, the opportunity to begin life with a church family. We would love to send you a free resource. We'd love to mail to you a Following Jesus book. It's just about next steps and where to go from here. You made a decision today, now what? This book is going to help you with the what. We want to